this special Halloween edition of Peppermint Dreams, featuring The Legend of Sleepy Hollow from the creator of Muriel's World. So without further delay, here is our story. Muriel and the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. Jane, Jack, Fegan, and Fanny had been looking forward to Halloween for months, all year in fact. However, this was going to be a very different Halloween. First of all, the four kids were spending the weekend with Nanny Muriel for Halloween, simply the greatest nanny of all. Now, Nanny Muriel had her entire cottage in the woods filled to the brim with spooky, magical things. Every corner was dressed up with spiders and cobwebs, some real ones, carved flying witches on brooms, pots of boiling witches brew on tables, light-up ghosts popping out of doors and drawers, skeletons dancing to creepy music with a push of a button, and even more. Now, Nanny loved a good celebration, and she adored her grandkids visiting, so she went all out. So that was the first difference, an amazing part of this Halloween. But the second thing that was unique about this particular Halloween was that Jane, Jack, Fegan, and Fanny all had the flu. Terrible timing. But Nanny already had them on the mend with plenty of rest that day. Some of her homemade chicken soup with buttered harvest bread, a crackling fire in the fireplace, and cuddly knitted blankets and warm fall colors to snuggle into. She promised they'd have a blast, even if they couldn't trick-or-treat as usual. That afternoon, when the children would usually start out trick-or-treating through the village in the woods, Nanny assembled her loved ones by the fire. She often did. She told them she had a story to tell them. The kids loved Nanny's stories. Nanny settled herself in her chair, the chair that was only Nanny's. She reached down and lifted a very large old book. The book was covered with brown leather, with an old brass clip unlike any they'd ever seen before, a very old clip with a leather strap. Nanny's delicate old hand slowly unlatched this book as the children's eyes grew wide. She looked up at them with a twinkle in her eye and began. "Not any old story," she said in her sweet, pretending to be creepy voice. "So hold your blankets close, my dears." And the legend began. The year was 1790. Our story begins in a village in New York, a quaint village like a picture card, with the name Sleepy Hollow. However, something about this village wasn't quite right. Though the sun shone during the day, at night there was a coldness, a darkness, a wind that swept through unlike other charming towns. The people of Sleepy Hollow were unique, filled with superstitious ideas, creepy ideas. So stories brewed, stories of witches and fright. It was in this village where a man named Ichabod Crane lived. Ichabod was a long, dark figure, lanky. He was one of those people who have a very long body with a too small head, huge ears, and extra large green eyes. Ichabod was fascinated with witches, ghosts, and goblins, with books piling high on the subject. He was a teacher, a schoolmaster by trade. He moved from home to home teaching various pupils. It was through this teaching that he arrived in Sleepy Hollow and soon met Katrina. Katrina was his student. She was fresh, young, exceedingly wealthy, and beautiful in his eyes. She was kind and showed a deep compassion for others. This attracted Ichabod, though while he admired her so, he knew that she was spoken for. As his love for her grew, he knew that she was promised to another, a man named Brom. One evening, Katrina's family had a fancy party at their large estate. Ichabod was invited by Katrina herself, and though he was nervous, he decided to attend. Anyone who was anyone was certainly at the event, and he would certainly see Katrina, so he wished to go, and he did. Ichabod traveled by horse, on his steady, reliable horse named Gunpowder. He admired the home's grandness as he approached, even in the dark of the night. Candles lit the way into the richly framed center hall. The large home was dripping with elegance, brimming with excitement, and many happy guests were decked out in their best finery, and they were seen eating, drinking, and making merry. The mahogany tables in the hall were covered in sweet cakes and fresh fruits, meats, and cheeses. Music filled the rooms from a fine string quartet in the corner. Elegant lights danced off polished silver and fine glass. Ichabod's eyes immediately spotted his student, Katrina. She welcomed him heartily as he did smile upon her, as did her father, encouraging him to join in the feasting. He also noted that Brom was there, closely monitoring Katrina's every move. Ichabod wandered around the table, enjoying sweets and ale. As the music swelled, his heart began to race. He bravely took the opportunity to ask his beautiful student Katrina for a dance. He really was awkward as day, but Katrina found him somewhat charming. In fact, you might say that she was falling for him. She enjoyed his intellect and his kind heart, and she so accepted his invitation to dance quite happily. With his long hand on her tiny waist, the two took to the floor, and many an eye were observing. The two danced in circles, chatting about music and art, a bit too close for Brahm's liking. Katrina was flushed and all smiles with her awkward partner, enjoying the conversation. Everyone noticed and stared on in surprise at her interest in this strange man. Enraged, Brom interrupted this scene and asked Katrina to dance with him instead. With a stern look, he said, "Katrina, may I have this dance?" Katrina nodded shyly. "Of course you may, Brom." Ichabod politely stepped aside, and he joined the other townfolk by the punch table and warmed himself by the fire near the elders. His eyes were on Katrina, of course, and her eyes were on him, though she was now firmly in Brahm's arms. This was when the precise moment happened that the town elders approached Ichabod, and they began to tell him things.
"She certainly is lovely, isn't she?" stated the wife and the minister. "The family is worth a huge fortune," the minister continued.
Then the tone shifted.
"You must be very careful, Mr. Crane. In our town, there are secrets, dangers. One can't be too, safe," said another elder woman, draped in fur.
"If you aren't careful, well, things could happen," an elder man with a pipe warned.
"In the night, people disappear. They say there are witches, ghosts, goblins," an elder woman continued. "People are heard screaming and crying in the woods. But of course, one must fear the headless horseman."
"The what?"
Ichabod asked.
"The headless horseman," interrupted the minister. "Surely you've heard?" he asked.
"No, I haven't," Ichabod responded.
"As I was told, he is said to be a ghost of a soldier whose head was blown clear off in a battle during the Revolutionary War," the minister's wife continued, "by a cannon."
"Yes, by a cannon," continued the elder woman in the fur.
by her side. "Blown clear off," she explained. "He's buried by the courtyard, you see, but each and every night on horseback, he goes out of his grave and he searches for his head." "Yes, yes, for his head. He won't rest until he finds it," the minister's wife stated.
"Many a man has seen him, Ichabod,
but only a few live to tell," said another elder man in spectacles. "They say he rides his horse, and those who have seen him closely say that his head is clear off. Only his neck is seen. His body is like a skeleton." Brahm appeared behind Ichabod, startling him.
"It's true, every word they say. I myself had a battle with him and survived, of course," he said. "I rode my own horse towards the church bridge, and he left me alone, probably afraid of my strength."
"Or the church,"
the minister commented. "Or the bridge. He can't pass the bridge, they say," said the elder woman in fur. Brahm continued.
"So when, I mean, or, you know, if you see him, Ichabod, go to the bridge and you should be safe, they say."
After the story, Ichabod was clearly shaken. He did try to connect again at the party with Katrina, but it seemed that Brahm always found a way in between him. Realizing he had little hope with winning her hand, Ichabod sadly left. That night, as Ichabod headed home, the shadows in the trees seemed to shift and move. It was dark and eerie. There were so many noises. Suddenly, he saw a dark figure. His mind got the best of him.
"Who is there?" Ichabod demanded.
"It is him for sure," he thought. "The headless horseman." With that, a man appeared from the dark shadows. Ichabod, alone on his trusty black horse, Gunpowder, looked at the approaching shadow of a man. A headless man, wielding a weapon and prancing his way towards him.
"Run!" Ichabod yelled to his horse from atop Gunpowder, wildly whipping the reins. The two galloped wildly away, with the headless horseman close behind.
"Run, run," Ichabod shouted. Remembering the conversation from the party, Ichabod quickly headed to the bridge of the churchyard, trying to escape, hearing a large screech, a hideous laugh behind him. Ichabod turned around once safely past the bridge, or so he thought. He turned again. A carved pumpkin head rolled fast towards Gunpowder. Ichabod looked up, but the headless horseman was nowhere to be seen. And neither was Ichabod ever again. His trusty horse was found the next morning, alone by the bridge, eating grass. But Ichabod was gone. Sometime later, Brahm married his intended, Katrina. At their wedding, the elders and minister and his wife were overheard discussing the matter.
"Surely the headless horseman got Ichabod,"
the elder man with the pipe said.
"Or he ran scared, a-scared from town, never to be seen again," the minister's wife responded.
The minister glanced at the happy couple in their wedding finery.
"I suppose we will never know." "I suppose we never will," Brahm said, smiling at his wife.
Though in the distance, a horse was heard. Nanny slowly closed the old book, looked up the kids sweetly, and then shouted,
"Boo!" And the kid screamed, "Ah!
I gotcha!" Nanny giggled and smirked. "Now it's just a silly old tale."
"Is it?" asked Fegan. "It's not true, is it?" Well, I can't be saying for sure, said Nanny in a creepy tone. They say the Headless Horseman is still seen each year. Only once a year, though, now, they say, on Halloween. Well, get them she did. All four kids were thoroughly spooked and thrilled, and giggled and followed this tale with tales of their own, under sheets with flashlights by the firelight, followed by a yummy stew that Nanny made. Afterwards, Nanny gave them each the ingredients to each make their own fun dirt pudding. It was simple. You too can do this. Made by spooning chocolate pudding in a small bowl, topped with cookie crumbles of your choice, and completed with a gummy worm on top. So, it was indeed a very, very different Halloween. Maybe yours is too this year. Nanny always says to make the best of things. That's what she says, make the best of things, my dear. And that's pretty good advice these days. With a little love, some spooky imagination, and a sweet treat like a piece of candy or two, anything is possible. So happy Halloween from your friends at Peppermint Dreams and the folks at Sweet Street. We hope it is super spooky, yummy, and fun. Happy Halloween!